This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, August 15, 2014. The Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary can be one of those elements of our faith that we can hear about, think about, and if we ponder it a little bit, we can get excited about it, or we can, you know, kind of delve into it. But it's not one of the elements that we have a tendency to make part of our being. It's a very important thing that we do that, because out of all the elements of our faith, this is one that we can, that can take us to a level of understanding what we have in Christ Jesus. It is kind of a focus where I want to go here. You know, it's not about Mary and what happened to her, but it's about what happened to her, by whom it happened to her, and how it happens to us also, in union with both our Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus Christ. A second reading tonight from Corinthians, you say, oh, that's, you know, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I'm using a reading that doesn't mention the Blessed Virgin Mary one time. It mentions our Lord Jesus, but when we understand about our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot, it would be ridiculous to think that it doesn't equate directly into the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To start out just with the passage in general, that reading from Corinthians, it starts out that says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Then it says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. It is an order in which we engage with our Lord Jesus Christ. He does have a time frame. He does have a program for each and every one of us. It's solidarity between Christ and the Christian. That's what it speaks about. A solidarity that again, from our standpoint, from a point, I mean, there are a lot of other places you could be on a weeknight, Friday night, but you're here listening about the Blessed Virgin. And that's the way we should do it, because it shows our solidarity with our Lord Jesus Christ. We talk so much and we hear so much about our union with Christ and being a member of a body of Christ. And I always point out that being a member of the body of Christ is not being a member of a club, where Jesus is like the, you know, he's the top member and we're all individual members of that club. If you are a part of the body of Christ, you are truly that, a part of his body. His whole body, a body of those who have gone before us and are in glory with him, those who are awaiting their glorious time to come that have gone before us, and those of us who are here in the church militant, waiting for that time in which we will cross on the other side of the veil and to inherit our just deserts. That's being in union with Christ. That's why the Mass is so glorious. Because the Mass, as you go to the Mass and you engage with the Mass, when we, particularly the Eucharist brings us into that being when it's just not us in these four walls. That every place on the face of the planet where the Eucharist is being celebrated, every single place, we are in union with them. We are in union with those who have gone before us. As I said before, on the other side, they are always in Eucharist. They are always engaged in the person of Christ. We down here are limited, and we can only get it at the altar rail when we receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But that's just a little foreshadow of that solidarity that there is truly, that truly exists between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a true and objective solidarity. It is true and objective element of being part of his body. Because when we look at that, when we look at the cross, you understand that the cross and God and Jesus' resurrection affirmed for us who he was. It affirmed for us that, as he said from the cross, all things are finished. Our redemption is done. It's been accomplished. His resurrection affirms that for us. And it not only affirms it for us, but it is actually an instrument for our resurrection. That's what the cross was, an instrument for our resurrection. And when you think about this, it should foster within you that another thing that we hear about a whole lot, that's holy hope. It's so hard to get people to understand when we talk about a Christian hope or the holy hope. It's not a hope that you define as we normally do on this side of the veil. Because when we think about hoping for something here, it may or may not happen. Your salvation has been wrought. Your salvation has been bought with a price, that of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at that and think that it is finished, that's faith. We understand that that part's done. So what is this holy hope? The holy hope is applying that faith to our lives. That's where the ball is in our court. A holy hope is nothing less than demonstrating that hope is not passive for us. Hope is active. It spurs us to ensure that even in this present life, that Christ's teachings and His Spirit are made manifest in everything that we do. Not made manifest in the fact that I come to church on Sunday and on holy days of obligation. But then the way you talk to the people at the checkout counter at Publix, the way you deal with members of your family, the way you deal with your friends, the way you deal with other Christians, then if it truly does reflect the teachings in the Spirit of Christ, you are living the holy hope. Again, your hope is not passive. It's not conjecture. It's not an abstraction. Your holy hope is something to be lived. Again, you live it by living the teachings in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what being a part of His body is. You are, as I always point out, His hands, His feet, His eyes, His mouth in this world. And when you are not, when you don't act like it, people see that more than they do when you are positive. What I mean by positive, when you're living His teachings and His Spirit. Then they really don't have to pay attention to us when we're doing what we're supposed to do. But let you slip up one time. Slip up one time, and the people that know you're a Catholic, all of a sudden, oh, I thought you were a Catholic. Good Catholics don't do that. That's how it works. That's why we should always be on our guard, because, again, we should live this hope that is within us. There has never been an example, ever, that walked the face of this planet that was more of an example of living a Christian hope than the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the prime example of that. She is the example par excellence of engagement with her Son. You think about that. She's our example. And then when you think about that last verse that ties everything up about our solidarity with Christ, that last verse, God has put all things in subjection under His feet. Our Lord Jesus Christ overcame death of His own volition. There are a lot of other people that had been in the Old Testament raised from the dead. You remember how they were raised from the dead? Someone prayed for them. Prophets prayed to God that they would be raised again from the dead. Nobody prayed that over Jesus Christ. They didn't need to, because He of His own free will rose from the dead. He had power over death because our Father gave Him the power over death because of what He did for us, for Him becoming that last Adam who fulfilled His law. And when we look at the Blessed Virgin Mary of being one who emulated the faith and obedience that we should have in our Lord Jesus Christ, to think that when He has all things put under subjection, under His feet, when you think about that, you cannot help but to appreciate the fact of her assumption into heaven. Because you think about her life. You know, from the time of her fiat, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." When she said those words, you think, oh, okay, Mary gave her fiat to be the portal in which salvation would enter into the world. Isn't she glorious? Isn't it great to be the Blessed Virgin Mary? What happened to her life after that? I mean, immediately, she becomes pregnant with the second person of the Trinity. The one whom the universe could not contain is in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a young girl contained in her womb. And you think about, oh, isn't that glorious? I bet you that puffed her up. Really, you think so? Because guess what? To be pregnant and unmarried at that time was a death sentence. That's why Joseph was going to put her away privily, so nobody knew. He didn't want anything to happen to her, but he was going to have no part of that. A woman who was just betrothed and now pregnant, but was a death sentence. Mary lived from the time of her fiat, the seven sorrows. It never got glory. Even things, one of the glorious mysteries, this is under the joyful mysteries. One of the joyful mysteries is the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. You would think, how puffed up could Mary be? She brings her infant child into the temple, and the priest takes him and looks, and Blessed Simeon the priest says, "Hey, Lord, now I can depart in peace because I have seen the salvation which you have brought forth in the presence of all of your people." You would think that would puff Mary up, but then he looks over her immediately after saying that and says, "And a sword will pierce your soul." Nothing was happy for her during the whole life of her son. Nothing. Our Lord Jesus Christ engaged her in every part of his earthly ministry. Every part. She walked with him on the way to Calvary. She watched her only child die on a cross. Watched him suffer. Watched people... You know, hard enough watching your child suffer, much less standing around while people mocked why they were suffering. Went out of their way to make their existence, how fleeting it was going to be, a little bit more difficult. Spitting, throwing things, wagging their heads. She had to watch that. She engaged in every pitiful part of our Lord's ministry, of his condescension to us. She lived all those things, and it would be absolutely ridiculous to think, if all things are put in subjection under his feet, for one moment to think that he did not let her participate in his ascension into heaven also. She wasn't assumed at the same time when he ascended into heaven. She still had some work to do down here. But after she passed to the next life, he was not going to leave her live in corruption. Why? Because he didn't have to. Because he had all things in subjection under his feet. That's why it is ridiculous to think anything other than he would assume his mother, body and soul, into heaven to be with him for all eternity because of her faith and obedience here. The same exact rewards await you. The same exact rewards after all things are said and done, after that final judgment, the resurrection of your body and soul. St. Paul emphasizes that. He says, if there is no resurrection of the body, everything that we teach is foolishness. It's not about thought. It's not about abstractions. It's not about conjecture. It is truly about inheriting heaven, body and soul. Looking at Jesus Christ in the same eyes that he looked upon this world, with the same eyes that are looking up at me right now. The same eyes that look upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose eyes are up there beholding her son right now. Why? Because he was able to do that for her. And that was her reward for what she did for him. It will be your reward also if you engage, if you truly do believe in the solidarity that you have with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.